Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here. I'm Barbie Jean, your host, and today I am in my purple wig. It's my favorite wig I own. I have like seven. I have a wig wall in my closet and I'm obsessed. I've been really wanting to dye my hair lately. I used to always, like, I went through years of just dyeing my hair a different color all the time. And I've been really craving that again. And I don't know if I just need to like scratch the itch with wearing more wigs or if I need to dive back in and dye my hair. but yeah, today I'm feeling good. And purple is my favorite color, so I'm rocking my favorite one today for y'all. I hope you enjoy. Today we're doing another AMA. So yeah, enough about me, but actually not actually, because today you're going to find out a lot about me. We have a lot of personal questions. Obviously, I always give you advice and guidance and, you know, tips and all of that along the way. But a lot of these questions I've grouped together today are all about finding out more about me, your fabulous host. So let's get into your juicy questions. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. First one, you said your first female experience was abroad. Did you always know? Did your partners before you know you were interested? Did you have any threesomes before your first female experience? Yay. So, you know, it's fun thinking back about these. You know, I definitely dated a lot of, had a lot of monogamous relationships like in high school, in college, and, you know, had a lot of one night stands throughout that time as well. And when I moved abroad, but there were some relationships where I feel like I'd be like, oh my God, that girl's so hot at the bar. Or like, you know, there was a time even when I was flirting with a server when I was on a date with someone and he like freaked out. So it's a good telltale sign that like put me off. I was like, oh shit. But I felt really awful because he was like, what are you doing? Like, we're on a date together. So people are obviously on the different, it's a wide spectrum of, you know, kind of open vibes and what you're, what you accept and boundaries and what feels good. So I always kind of like to teeter and like make comments that make the person, that make me feel like I learn more about the person. So whether that's like when we're out, telling them that I think, you know, someone I saw was really sexy and asking them their perception, like I'm a very open, vulnerable person. I like to be able to talk about other people. I like to be able to check people out together. Like, I think that's really fun. Sorry, this hair is like all up in my face, all up in my mouth. So did previous partners know? No, not always. But when I felt like they were comfortable with it, then yeah, I'd be like, oh, like, I feel like that'd be fun to, you know, have a threesome. There were definitely, a threesome was on my mind and women were on my mind before I had my first one, if that answers your question. But it wasn't something I always mentioned to people. And did I always know? Yeah, I think I always did too. You know, I've mentioned how I had these experiences at younger ages or in college even, where I had kind of these like moments with women where it was always playful and fun and it was like besties or girlfriends, like, yeah, let's just make out. But it never felt weird. And so I was always like, yeah, I like girls. And then I remember in college, one of my dearest friends went home with a girl for the first time. And I was like, oh my God, I felt like jealous. Like, I was like, dang, I want to do that. You know? So there was, I was surrounded by all these women throughout my life that were going home with women, that were interested in women, that were having threesomes before I did. And so I feel like I did kind of always know that that's something that I really wanted, or at least there was a point where I was like, okay, this is definitely something that I want, but it wasn't something that I was like actively seeking, until really I moved to LA. And then your other questions, was, did you have any threesomes before your first female experience? No. So that was like the catalyst to the threesomes. You know, going home with a woman for the first time was like, you know, I think I did want to actually have threesomes though at that point in time too, but I also was like, really wanting to go home with a woman too. So if it happened the other way around, like that would have been great too. But I'm kind of happy that that was more of like the eye-opening moment for me, where then I was really like, okay, this is actually a thing. Cause I feel like a lot of women can make out with each other and not actually be bisexual. But for me, I was like, no, like I'm jealous that my friends have been like, you know, eating other pussies. I'm like, I want that for me. And when it finally happened for me, when I went home with a woman, I was like, okay, this is a thing. I need to embrace this. So yeah, thank you for allowing me to share a little bit more about that experience. And thanks for your questions. Okay, next. Hey, Barbie, you like to end every interview with a question about your guest's latest orgasm. Yes, the last sweet release. But my question to you is, what's the latest fantasy you've had? What's the newest thing you've thought about trying, etc.? You know, I think the newest thing that I've tried, so I might change your question a little bit. The newest thing that I've tried was, you know, I've been really wanting to get a pacifier, and I did an episode on DDLG. I've talked more about that. You know, I've really been trying to get, a diaper lover on the pod. And so that's like a kink that I've definitely been really interested in, because I do feel like I have this baby energy that comes out when I'm with my partner in certain moments in the bedroom together. And so I bought a pacifier, I know there's a photo shoot on my Patreon of me wearing it and having fun with it. But yeah, I put it in my mouth, and my partner was taking some pictures of me. And then we had a little pleasure session after our photo shoot. And as you know, he was like, baby, are you warming that up for my cock? And I was like, yeah. So it felt good to be like sucking on something in my mouth and like getting my mouth ready to then, you know, suck on the beautiful piece on his body. So that was like a really fun thing to tap into. And then like putting it back in my mouth after, when we were then having penetrated sex, and just having that in my mouth the whole time felt really good and felt really kinky and felt really sexy and playful. And I really did kind of feel like a baby, and I was tapping into like kind of my little energy, is what I like to call it. So, that's a recent fantasy that I really enjoyed tapping into, something that I never have. I remember the first time when I sucked the sweet nectar from the titties from a woman who was breastfeeding, who had a newborn child. And that was something that I was like, oh my God, like this is like, this energy is like, feels so good. And that was so many years ago. So I'm glad that I finally got to like tap into that baby energy. And I'm sure I will again, for sure. Thank you for asking. Okay, next. I feel that your content is so sexy. Does it require a male counterpart to see your submissive nature? Definitely not. You know, I was at my recent guest, the Sophia Dominatrix that I had on recently. She invited me to her book release party, and it was also a play party and a kinky, you know, event and BDSM kind of exploration play party. Anyways, they had a performance, and of course, you know, my hand went right up. It's like, ooh, performance. Do I get to be spanked? So I volunteered and got spanked by this other beautiful dominatrix. And yeah, so I definitely can tap into my submissive nature with women as well. I think actually the first time I was ever dommed, was by a dominatrix. So I think I have a sweet spot for those female doms for sure. Okay, next. Can you tell us about your favorite sex on the beach story? It sounds so hot. I have yet to have sex on the beach. Yeah. So, okay. I know I talked about this recently. Yeah. I do remember a sex on the beach story. Now listen, I sadly do not remember who it was with. This is kind of like embarrassing, but it's a pattern of like my exploration of life. When you get to a certain number of It's like when you get to that certain number of names in your mind and you just can't remember any more names, like I really have to like repeat or come up with some sort of memory game for me to remember people's names now, or like just know them for longer periods of time. So this is similarly, like sometimes I have people, like I remember, like I talked about recently, that guy that the squirt guy, the first guy that made me squirt, you know, I've had these people where I don't remember their names, or maybe I don't really remember their faces, but I remember like the actual act of it. This is one of those stories. So yeah, it was in Australia. It was on the secluded beach. He brought a blanket. Yeah, we laid out, we stayed out and watched the stars and we had sex. And like, I know it was like one of a few people, but I really honestly couldn't tell you which one and who he was, which is kind of embarrassing. Like that gives me like a little bit of shame, but I also know that like I cherish exploration and I cherish connection, and I've had so much of it. And that was so long ago that, you know, I have to be gentle with myself and be like, oh, it's okay, Barbie, that you don't actually remember who that was with. But yeah, thank you so much for asking. Okay, next. You had sex for money once. What was that like? Spill the tea. Okay, so yeah, my sex for money story. I felt... It was kind of a mixed emotion. You know, I had been dating this guy actually that was an escort. And so I felt like he kind of opened my eyes to this direction that you could go, but I never really felt comfortable with his escorting. And I think for me, I was like trying to, you know, I had been also selling my underwear. Like I'd been kind of doing these other fun things that felt good, but then I also had some seeking arrangement moments that didn't feel good. But this man in particular, like reached out to me on seeking arrangements and, you know, wanted to pay for sex. And I like looked at his picture and I was like, dang, like I probably would fuck that guy, you know, like a night out, like I would. So leaning into that, we like met up, you know, I remember he like had a Negroni. I remember he like crossed his legs. He had kind of this like kind of feminine energy. He owned like this makeup brand. And he had a few businesses, and that was why he paid women to fuck, I think, or that was his ideology, was he just didn't have enough time to, you know, date. And so I was into it. You know, I feel like the pre part was so much more fun and exciting. And I'm excited for you guys to read my book, because I feel like when I'm able to like sit down and write and be more poetic and like set the scene, it's way more beautiful. But I'm just kind of, you know, giving you a little taste before my book does come out and you can actually read it. But anyways, we go back to his place. I'm definitely like warmed up. I'm excited. Like we had drinks, we chatted, like it's kind of this slow build and this like edging and this playful energy between us that felt really good. But when we got back to his place, you know, his room was kind of bare. It was bland. He didn't even have a bed frame. Like his bed was just on the floor and the walls were so bare. And I just felt like the energy of the space was just not what I was expecting from this like business owner. And then, yeah, the sex itself, like he didn't want to please me, which was fine. Like I knew like you're paying for the deed, whatever. So the sex itself, like, I feel like it was missionary, then me on top. And he came like moments later. It was just like very quick. And I just remember like rolling back over and laying there and being like, okay, I guess I'm not going to get one tonight. No sweet releases for me today. I did leave and I felt good, but I also felt like, that wasn't like as exciting as I thought it was going to be. Like the leading up to it was way more fun. And then the act itself was just kind of a letdown, I think. So yeah, I don't know. Not as exciting, but there's the tea for you. Thanks for sharing, or thanks for asking. Okay, next. When did you start squirting? My boyfriend has tried and I can't squirt. I have no idea how. So yeah, you know, I did talk about squirting recently too. So maybe this is like a little bit of an older question. So I'll just kind of like get into it real quick. I squirted for the first time, I think when I was around 24, kind of like deep in my LA exploration time. And it was, yeah, it was just kind of this guy that I met and he was able to do it. And it happened at a sex party. And I remember it happening and I was like, oh my God, do it again. And then I was like, do it again. Like I was like in awe of my body. Like it was so fun to like watch it happen. Oh, it was so cool. But anyways, has every man been able to do it after that? No. Like I was in a relationship at that time when that happened. And I remember him trying for hours the next day and he couldn't do it. So it does take a certain art. Really it's pushing that G spot. So putting those fingers in, pushing up against that little spongy G-spot area and pushing, like pulling towards you and really doing it really hard and really fast and really rough. And that's going to lead to this like kind of explosion sensation, but also not everyone's the same. Not everyone gushes like a fire hydrant. Not everyone is that same spot. Like you, some people can even just kind of squirt during like intercourse. So every person's body is unique and different. So you really have to do some exploration on your own. It's hard to do on your own, but there are tools that you can get that like massage that G spot or that hit that spot just right. So I would like just explore, try to figure out, yeah, maybe try to watch some videos. I'll try to do some more tutorial episodes as well, or check out, you know, I did have a squirting episode too. Last week we talked about it with Dan quite a bit. And then a few episodes ago with Leola too, we talked about it as well. So if you want to hear some more squirting topics and advice, check out those episodes. Okay. Do you prefer, there's another squirting. Have you had partners make you squirt? Or just at parties. So yeah, I have also had partners make me squirt, which is nice, but it's honestly not my favorite thing. It's messy. Like someone did send me a squirt blanket, which was really cool. But yeah, it's not one of my favorite things to do. Like when it happens, I'm like, oh, cool. But I'd much rather keep it mess free, I guess. I don't know. Especially on the day to day, like I'm not trying to do laundry all the time. Okay. Do you prefer threesomes with two guys or two other girls? Okay, interesting. Can I pick one guy, one girl? If I had to choose between two guys or two other girls, I honestly would probably choose two guys. I think I would. I mean, I have had all-girl threesomes. I have. They're amazing. I went to an all-girl sex party once and that was really fun. But I also felt like there was like some like, you know, when you have a bunch of women, sometimes that energy is just like, it's like so much. Whereas I like the balance. That's why I would probably choose, if I could, a guy and a girl. Those are my favorite threesomes. Oh my God, tongue twister. But two guys is also really incredible. And it just feels good because the ones that I have had, I dream of having a bisexual threesome with two men. But the ones that I've had like full on with two guys, I felt like just the center of attention. And I love that. And I felt like just worshipped and taken care of. I remember this specific time for my birthday. I used to use Kick to like connect with people. It's like a messaging platform. And there was this like lifestyle play party people group that I was a part of. And it was my birthday and I just got a new bed. I had just moved into my new place with my sister in Pasadena when I first was out here in LA. And I messaged that Kick group and I was like, hey, it's my birthday. Does anyone want to come over and spoil me and break in my new bed? And these two guys ended up coming over and it was such a great day. Like it was just so great. So yeah, thank you for asking. Okay. Next question, body count. I feel like I answered this question in a recent AMA. My body count, guys, come on. Fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. Don't ask a girl her body count. Like who the F cares? But honestly, I'm an open book. You know, I am. I will tell you. And the truth is I don't fucking know. What do you determine to be love as between two people and that you can retain it for a lifetime as partners? So I think, yeah, how do you define love maybe is kind of your question, and how to retain it for a lifetime. I think the biggest thing for me, which I know I talk a lot about, is communication, being able to be vulnerable in communication, being able to open up, being able to listen, ask questions, be intuitive. Like that is such a huge part. And that's something I truly cherish in my partner, because he knows when I'm off, he knows when my energy is different and he can sense it and he can, you know, he knows how to give me what I need or ask me or just, he's very intuitive in that way. And I just truly cherish that. Not only communication and being able to like be vulnerable and be intuitive to what your partner needs but also, you know, exploration. I think that's so huge. I think living a life where it's mundane, where it's the same thing, can really get boring and stagnant and can make people want to look elsewhere, or can make people, you know, want to try something new, or can just make people's mindset shift. And it's so important to shift together. Sometimes we shift apart. That's totally fine. But if you want a partnership for life, forever, like I think it's really fun to try new things, to keep it spicy, to keep exploring, to keep telling your partner your fantasies, what you want to try, what you want to do, where you want to go, even if it's traveling, even if it's, you know, buying a new rug, like keeping your life and your relationship fun and new and exciting, I think is really a key to happiness in my perspective, in my opinion. But yeah, those are two things that I think are just really important for a lifetime of happiness. Thanks for asking. Next. Hey, Barbie, what's the kink fetish that gives you the most anxiety to talk about with a partner? Oh, this is a good one. You know, to be honest with you, I've had a lot of experiences with particularly men where I have opened up about my kind of like open nature and how, you know, I've been in open relationships before, how that's something that interests me, how, you know, I am bisexual and I'm still trying to explore that. And I have been met with a lot of acceptance, but I've also been met with a lot of, I don't even know the right word to say, just like a wall or, confusion or even disrespect or saying like you get to a point in that relationship too where I'm like, I want more. And they're like, well, you know, I don't see you as like a long-term partner. I don't think that like what you want in your partnership is something that I see like long-term. And that kind of hurt my feelings for a while and made me very like cautious of even opening up about being, you know, being interested in group play and group scenarios. So I think that's the first thing that comes to my mind of something that, that I really enjoy. But luckily there's now these dating apps, you know, like Beyond, like Field, and like, you know, yeah, those are my two faves, I guess. even FetLife, I guess, where you can find these like-minded individuals and you kind of know off the rip, like, okay, this person is maybe a little bit more accepting than some of these other more vanilla people that kind of rejected this mindset or made me feel like something's wrong with me. So I think that's the one where I've actually had personal experience where I've been like, my feelings have been hurt or I felt like their reaction upset me in a way. And obviously that might've just been my own dealing with their reaction. Like, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, like, of course. But yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind that I've sometimes struggled with like opening up about. Or now I think that's why I'm also very huge into baby steps is because I think like when you work and communicate slowly and lean into these specific fantasies and kinks in a more gentle approach that can also lead the partner or the person that you're, you know, with to be more accepting of it. Okay, next. Does a flaccid cock do anything for you? I was once talking to a girl who said she gets turned on by a flaccid dick. I had never heard that before. I mean, it's not something that like turns me on, but yeah, I love sucking a soft dick. Like I like starting when it's like really soft. I mean, it's nice when it's already hard, but it's fun watching it grow. And I like flicking them around too. So I like having fun with them. I think it's playful to like have fun, flick them around, like have a little fun with them when they're soft. Yeah. That's something I definitely enjoy doing. I wouldn't say it's something that like gets, what is this girl that you met? She gets to really turned on by it. Yeah, I have never heard that before, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, they are like fun to play with. And so, yeah, I think that is a thing. You're right. Okay, I have a couple more. Hi from the UK. Yay, hi from the UK. Cool. As someone whose only sexual experiences were with a male boyfriend by way of sex play, both of us were just starting puberty. Now I'm in my 40s and an open-minded demisexual. I miss being open that way with someone. What are your thoughts? Okay, so it sounds like you haven't been maybe with a male person since that time of your life. I'm not sure if that's accurate. And you're also saying that now you're a demisexual, which is basically you need to have kind of more of a connection before you get intimate with someone. So you can't just be like turned on by them and fuck them, which a lot of people can do. I'm one of those people. But the older I get, the more I do feel like I do need that connection. And it does always shift. So, but yeah, not always. So you define as demisexual and you're open-minded, you're in your 40s and yeah, you need advice of wanting to have this experience again. So I would really tap into some of these dating apps that I've already mentioned, Field, maybe FetLife if you're into some like more kinky stuff, but even just like kind of open-minded people are on there. Beyond is a great one too. Tap into some of these communities where you can find these like-minded individuals. Maybe, let them know off the rip that like, okay, you need more of a connection. Like that's the tough part is when you're dating on these sites, like I get it. There are a lot of men in the kinky community and in, you know, the open relationship space that just want to fuck same sex partners. But there are also a lot of people that are similar to you that need more, that want that connection. So I would just be honest up front or maybe even like get out and get to some of these dates. And then hopefully some of them will turn into second dates and some of them will turn into third dates. Like, don't be scared to go on those first dates. Like, see if there's anyone out there that you can like see a potential with and just continue dating. Like, we're all so different. And unfortunately, there are going to be probably people that really just want to fuck. So maybe opening up before that first date, like, hey, just so you know, I'm not one to fuck on the first date. Like, I define as demisexual or, you know, I really need a deep connection before I get intimate with someone. So letting people know, and then you're going to kind of weed off the people that are just DTF. So that, I guess, I think is my advice, is really being honest up front, letting them know, like, this is your vibe. This is kind of like a boundary, right? Like it's kind of stating your boundaries. And then maybe on that second date, you will be able to kiss or do something else. And so I think just don't be scared to make those steps and go on those first dates, because they will ultimately lead to more. And that's going to lead you to more intimacy and more connection. And thanks for being vulnerable and opening up. I appreciate it. Okay, last question. Hi, Barbie. I'm a little behind on your content, but I see that you have embraced the slut life. Thank you. Congratulations. Oh my God. Thanks. I appreciate the congratulations. Has a partner ever called you a slut or a whore in bed? I think that it's fucking hot, but I can see it going the other way too. Yes. Okay, great question and great way to the end of this episode. I've talked about embracing the word slut recently. Like, it's not something I've ever harnessed. And so I do think I feel some shame around that word still because of this relationship I had with this guy who would call me these names in the bedroom. And I didn't like it. I just kind of let him do it because he clearly enjoyed it, but it was not something that I enjoyed. So yes, I can see both sides of this, but it's the biggest thing I have to tell you with this question is this is a great example of asking consent. Like, it is the worst feeling in the world when you are called something in the bedroom and this person didn't ask you first. Like, it's so easy. I know it's in the heat of the moment. I know you don't always have time to like talk about it ahead of time, but it's really important to say, hey, do you mind if I, you know, degrade you in the bedroom? How do you feel about name calling in the bedroom? Like, is that something that you're into? Like, how do you feel about, you know, BDSM? How do you feel about slapping? Like, these are all things that I have dealt with where the person has done them without asking. And it's such a different story than when you do ask. Because there's other situations too, when you're in an intimate moment with someone where you are comfortable with them calling you names, but this other person, you're not, or you're in a different mindset, or maybe you're not in that energy. Like, it's different to be tapping into that feeling degraded, feeling called a slut, feeling called a whore. Like, it's just a different energy altogether. So I like that you said, like, yeah, you think it's fucking hot. A lot of people do, but you can also see that people could not enjoy it. So that's one of those things where you just really always have to ask consent. You always just have to ask them, whisper in their ear, make it sexy, be like, hey, can I call you a slut right now? Like, literally just ask permission before you do. I call that rough play. Like, that's rough play. You're leaning into BDSM, that degradation, that humiliation side. But it's also just, it's rough play. It's calling names, calling, you know, it's not for everybody. And so before you lean into that space, please just ask. It's fine to ask. It's sexy. It can be really sexy. And it's honestly going to make that person just like, ugh, love you even more. Okay, I'm going to finish there. But first, when's the last time I had that sweet release? Okay, when was the last time I had that sweet release? Oh, you know what? I think it was last night. Yeah, I did. It was fun. You know, my partner came home from work like 2 nights ago and he was like, oh no, I came from work 2 nights ago. And my partner was like, I was like, honey, I'm home. And he was like about to put on the VR headset and have a wink with some hot chicks on the other screen, you know? And I was like, oh shit, well, I'm home now. Do you want the real thing? But I was like so tired. I was like, honestly, I'll just ride you really quick. Got him off real quick. That was nice. But I didn't have an orgasm. So yesterday, but then I like literally we watched TV and I fell asleep. So last night I didn't have time, like was busy all day. But when I went to bed first, I vibed out a quick one. Probably three actually. Yeah. I always like to do two or three. Three is like my sweet spot. I don't know why. It just feels so good. Actually, it wasn't even last night. It was during the daytime yesterday. Oh my God. I'm so forgetful. Yeah, it was daytime yesterday. And that was lovely with myself. It's really good to set time aside for yourself, for your own pleasure sessions with your partner. Sometimes you have to schedule them. We often do. But yeah, it's really good to take that time for yourself and enjoy it. All right, sweets, I'm going to let you go. I'm actually not going to be making a new episode next week. I'm going out of town. Yay. I'm going on vacation with my girlfriends. We're going to Guatemala. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I haven't had an international trip in a while, so I'm really looking forward to this, spending some of my hard-earned money. So I'm taking a break next week, but I will be back in 2 weeks with a fresh episode. And yeah, now is your time to catch up on some of my recent episodes. I have some new AMAs. I have some new fun guests. And so yeah, catch up on all the fun episodes. And I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Okay. Much love. Talk soon. Be sweet to yourself and be sweet to everyone around you and those sweet lovers of yours. Just be sweet. Talk soon. Bye.